John Hansen in for John Williams. John is in Portugal. He will be back on Monday. Bob Bertog joining us. Bob, I was so excited. We got a little rain. I don't think it was all that we needed, was it, though?
Well, it actually, you know, we're only a few days into October, and we are above average, but we're coming off of September that was almost three inches below average. So it definitely helped, but, you know, hopefully just some more in the weather there, because that was a nice rain, nice and slow and steady, no major washout. So that's what you're looking for.
I did feel like it felt like a soaker hose all day, and I was like, oh, that's what we should get. That's the best.
That's the best. Way better than those heavy downpours.
Okay. Bob Bertog, of course, the president of Bertog Landscape Company in Wheeling, certified landscape professional. He'll take your questions and calls. Already we're getting them before you even got on the air, Bob. That's a compliment. And the 847 is now a good time to transplant my hydrangea? There's a couple other questions in the text, but why don't we start with that one?
Sure. Fall's a great time to transplant. The roots get developed before a hard freeze. But, you know, I'd get it done before the end of October.
Is it, this is me talking, can you split like a hydrangea like you can a hosta, or should you be taking that whole root ball and putting it in another place?
It depends on the variety, but the most common ones, like your Annabelles, sure, you can divide those up because they're pretty resilient.
Okay, that's good to know. Back to the texter, the 847, he or she wanted to say his recommendation of using Ortho Weed Be Gone in the spring for Creeping Charlie is excellent. Sprayed twice in late April and May, no Creeping Charlie for the full year. How about that?
Well, yeah, it's like I said, Creeping Charlie is one of the hard ones to take care of. And two applications, the first one will knock it back, but then you hit it while it's down. And the second one, you're pretty good at eradicating it.
Okay. 224 with a good question. I've wondered this, not because I'm moving, because I want to move my clematis. What is the best way to move a clematis? If you don't know what a clematis is, it's a climbing plant, usually on a trellis or something along those lines. This texter wants to move and take it with them.
Just like any other plant, you want to make sure you have a decent root ball around it when you dig it out. So make sure, you know, you're not just yanking out bare root. You want to make sure you have some soil still attached to the roots for a better transplant.
And you just kind of like leave the trellis there, or, you know, not try and unwind it too much, or can you... I mean, it seems like I have a clematis. I can't even imagine moving because it's so intertwined with the clematis or with the trellis that's already behind it.
It wouldn't be a bad time to go ahead and do a rejuvenation pruning where you want to cut out like a third of the oldest and thickest canes, and the plant will rejuvenate itself.
Oh,
so
really?
I would prune it off the trellis and not worry about it. You're not going to kill the plant.
So about a third of it you can cut off, or a third of the extensions of the branches?
Yeah, you want to cut the oldest, thickest canes on it and let the new sucker growth from the bottom come up, because those older canes, they're just crowding out the plant, and it's very healthy for the plant to rejuvenate it every 3 years or so.
This is another John question. So one of my clematises, the rabbits got one of the two, I think you're calling them sucker shoots, out of the ground. The other one lived and did really well this year. Is it going to send another one up from the ground eventually, or is it going to hold the whole plant... going to rely on this like eighth inch of a root that's coming out of the ground?
No, it should shoot new growth out of the root zone.
Okay, so I can look forward to that. 773, I planted some lilac bushes in the spring. I've been watering regularly. They are now established. How late in the fall should I continue to water?
I think we had this question last week too. This is the most important time of the year for any of your shrubs and trees that you planted this year to make sure they get plenty of water going into winter. So we keep watering until the first hard freeze.
Oh, there's a chance I didn't cross that off the list, Bob, from last week. So you
that's okay.
You have the memory of a hawk, apparently, and boy,
no,
or an elephant.
So.
You got that one, man. Okay, Bob Bertog, ready for some questions from the callers?
Sure.
All right, yes. Let's go to TJ. TJ, what do you got for Bob?
Hey, Bob. I've got a white pine, about an 8-foot tree that I put in back in June. And I'm actually unsure how often I should be watering it. It's showing a little bit of like brown needles towards the interior of the tree.
Ooh, TJ, that's a good question. I'm actually having the same one. Bob, what's the answer?
The answer is, with evergreens, they don't need as much water as your deciduous trees, but definitely continue to water it. But the needle changing colors is normal. This time of year, it's the natural defense mechanism of a plant to, especially evergreens, they shed their inner needles because they don't want to have to feed them all winter. So it's very normal what's happening, especially if it's the inner needles. If it was the outer ones, then I'd say it's lack of water. But if it's the inner needles shedding, that's normal this time of year.
All right, TJ, there you go.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Bill. Bill, what's your question?
Hey, Bob, Arlington Heights here. Just wondering, is it time to lower my mower setting? I was doing 3 inches, and should I drop it to 2.5 or wait a bit?
Yeah. No, you can lower it down now, 2.5 for a couple of weeks, and then eventually by the end of the season, you want to be down to 2 inches.
2 inches? Okay. All right. Yeah. Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Bill. Let's go to Dave. Dave?
Yes, Bob. I just built a beautiful fire pit. It's under heavy shade. I'm looking for shrubs that I can put around the fire pit. I go to these big box stores. Everything's full sun. Do you have any recommendations for shrubs you can put around a fire pit under heavy shade?
Most of your hydrangea will do well in the shade.
Oh, okay.
Hydrangea.
Will they bloom, Bob?
Is that a shrub?
Yeah. Yes, it's a shrub.
Okay. Hydrangea. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Easy to control.
Anything else?
Probably you just do a Google search. You're going to get a whole variety of different things you can put in.
There you go, Dave.
Okay, thanks for your help.
Bob, you just dropped a Google it on Dave. I love that.
Sorry, I'm giving him my favorite plants. You know, the hydrangea would be great for in the shade.
You're right, Bob. And I love that. That's great. Let's go to Anthony. Anthony, you have a question.
Bob, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call, guys. I have a slight problem on my front grass. I had Kentucky bluegrass sod put down a few years back, and my neighbor accidentally sprayed weed and grass killer on it and killed about a quarter of it, it looks like. And I'm just wondering if that stuff's actually dead, or can I overseed and get it to come back, or am I going to have to cut it and put new sod down?
Good question.
Well, I would rake out the dead grass and then go ahead and put some topsoil down or topsoil compost mix, and then, yes, you can overseed it. It should be fine, but the grass that is killed will not come back.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
There you go, Anthony. All right, let's go. 847 wants to know, is it difficult to put in an underground sprinkler system with a ranch-style house and no basement?
As a do-it-yourselfer, yes.
Yeah, I'd say so, too.
You really need, you want to trench so the pipes are at least a foot below grade, and any weekend warrior I guess could give it a try. But to answer the question, is it difficult? Yes.
I was wondering, back to the patio question in the shade, do rhododendrons or azaleas, do they need a lot of sun, or is it like filtered sun they want?
Filtered sun. They want some sun, but they'll do well in the shade too.
Okay. 414, when's the earliest and latest to winterize my lawn? Any thoughts? I mean, right now is the time, right? Or no?
We just started putting down our last application of fertilizer, so technically that is the winterizer, but the next 4 weeks, you have to put it down.
Okay. 815 says, why after 20 years did the Cleveland pear trees start producing berries that stick like chewed bubble gum? Spent 20 minutes scrubbing off our car. You ever hear of something like that?
Well, I know that a lot of the trees this year have done an unusually excessive amount of sap. And that probably just falls in the same category. It's actually indicative of the trees are under stress.
Oh, really? Maybe just the heat and the lack of water?
Lack of water, mostly from last winter, no snow. So they came out in the spring behind the eight ball.
Oh, interesting. Okay, that's interesting. 708 for Bob and John. This one will be mostly for Bob. Can I cut my peony bush down now? It had a mold problem this year. You cut down a peony bush, prune it, that thing's going to come back maybe?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We trimmed our rhododendron. I didn't want to do it, Bob, because it got nice and big, but it was getting pretty leggy. And I saw these videos of doing it. I was so worried, Bob, because this thing is clearly old and done it. We cut it down really low. I cannot believe, Bob, how well it has responded. It is full and ready to grow. And I think that that's just a lesson of how, if you do it right and you talk to the right people, pruning can be your best friend with some of these things.
Ed, that goes back to the thing we talked about before with the clematis. You want to do some rejuvenation pruning. It's some of the best things you can do for your plants. About every 3 years, you cut out the oldest canes and cut them all the way down at the bottom, and then let the new sucker growth come in.
630 wants to know, how do you kill a trumpet creeper plant We used to have the plant. It was taken out a couple years ago, but they're now popping up in the lawn. I pull them out, but they come back. Sigh.
I would use a non-selective herbicide, but if it's growing in an area where you have desirable plants, go ahead and you want to use a method we call wicking, where you take a put on a rubber glove and then put on like one of those mitts you use to wash your car. You go ahead and put the herbicide on the mitt, and then you just basically massage the plant with the glove, and then the herbicide will translocate into the plant and kill it.
Oh, that's a good one. All right, let's go to Kathy. Kathy's got a general question, or what do you got, Kathy?
Yes, I'd like to know if I should be feeding my bushes and my plants this time of year.
Feeding like fertilizer, I assume? Bob, what do you think?
Yes.
This is the time of year to do it. This is when the roots are the most active, storing carbohydrates for the winter, and they're coming off of a stressful summer. So, yes, now is the time to do it.
All right. Thanks, Kathy. Right. And Bob Bertog, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. I was looking forward to chat with you this week and last week, and you'll have King John next week, okay?
Sounds great. Have a great week, John.
That's Bob Bertog. Does great stuff.